Hello there, my name is Seth Juarez from Channel 9. We're coming to you live from deep within Redmond Campus, Building 20. I'm here with the inestimable Tomas Petracek. How you doing, buddy?
I'm pretty good, except it's early in the morning.
It is. We had to get up early.
Yeah, just for you.
Because we love the people in Europe as well, and we want them to see this great content. This is the first F-Sharp Conf we've ever had.
That's right.
So tell us a little bit about how you came up with it, and then we'll go through some of the stuff that we're covering today.
Right. So I was actually speaking at the .NET Conf last year, which was a very similar event with lots of great talks, live streamed from Channel 9. And I really liked the format. And it's sort of amazing because the audience you can reach when you're streaming live, it's not like your usual user group with 20 people.
That's right. My mom is watching, so there's at least one.
Yeah. Good start.
Yeah, there you go.
Hello, Seth's mom.
There you go. So again, remember, this is a live event, in which the reason why we do live events is because we want your questions. And so if there's anything that comes up, we see it directly in front of us. And so make sure to pop in your questions, and we'd love to know what you're talking about, what you're wondering about. And if you have any questions about the content that's being presented, we want to be able to answer it. All right, so what do we got lined up for today, my friend?
All right, so we've got pretty busy agenda. And I'm not really going to go through all the talks we have because that would take the whole slot.
Yeah.
But we're going to start with a quick intro with Don Syme, the creator of the first versions of MSR of F#. And then we're just going to go through lots of great talks from the community. So there's a wide range of things from data science. That will be the first talk from Evelina. We'll actually have lots of talks related to web programming and microservices. Mm-hmm. So it seems like we've got all the hot topics covered there.
Yes.
And then we'll have Sean Trelford talking about 3D and games.
That's cool.
And Sean has been the youngest speaker at NDC in Oslo.
Nice. How old is he?
I think he was 9 back then, but he might be 10.
So one day we'll be sweeping the building which he owns. I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
Love it.
So then we'll have Goswin, who's actually used F# in architecture.
Oh.
So we'll learn about the roof of the Abu Dhabi Louvre Museum.
That's cool.
All right, moving on. There's more on software development with F#, cross-platform. And then we are moving more microservices and web testing. And then I'm pretty excited to hear more from Rachel Reese about how they're using F# at Jet, which is a large e-commerce startup. And finally, you'll learn about Internet of Things with Android and gesture recognition. We'll learn about Docker, and we'll have a chat with Yukitoshi Suzuki, who's actually one of the F# Foundation board members, but he's in Japan. So this will be morning for him.
Wow, that's cool.
And we'll wrap up with Feline and talking about what happens when geeks play games.
She's awesome, by the way.
Yeah. That will be a really cool talk. And we'll bring David Stevens from another building right here to talk about what's happening in the F# team.
Fantastic. And again, as you know, we want your questions. You're going to see sometimes we're going to be calling people on Skype. Sometimes it may not work. We have other stuff. So just to be aware, I mean, we're talking to people all across the world. And I think the best part about this, Tomas, is that these people are from everywhere. And most of them don't work for Microsoft.
That's true. And the scheduling was really bad.
Yeah. We have people from Japan. Feline, I believe she's She's in Amsterdam.
She lives in Amsterdam, but she will be joining us from Australia.
Oh my goodness. So, I mean, that's crazy. So we're pretty excited. F# is really a global community. All right. So what else you got? You want to talk some talking points? And I think we have Don Syme on the line to help us with that. So we're going to get Golnaz to turn his volume up so that we can hear him.
Hello, Don. Do we have you there?
Hey, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you fine.
Hi,
all right.
Everyone.
So Don actually sent us a couple of points that he wants to talk about in the intro. And I think they sort of summarize really the key things about F#. So
Thomas, just before we begin that, I just want to just say hi to everyone. I just want to say how excited I am to be part of this event. Really super happy that Channel 9 is giving the F-sharp community an opportunity to be online at this event like this. I've long thought that one of the greatest things Microsoft can do is not only make great technology and make customers happy, but can also enable all sorts of communities, including communities that ones like the F-sharp community, which is not a Microsoft-specific community. There's lots, as we'll see today, there's lots and lots of material completely orthogonal to Microsoft. But here we are at hosting on Microsoft Channel 9. And so it feels like the doors have been opened, Seth, and you're welcoming us and you're enabling people to do great things, which is what a great technology company should be all about. I just wanted to mention a couple of things here. We've got our first speaker, Evelina, who maybe just come in and say hi.
Hello.
She's sitting here. She'll be on in about half an hour. And just walking through the door now, we've got, our third and fourth speakers, which are, they'll just come over and say hi. We've got iDad here.
Hi.
Phil Trelford. We've got Sean Trelford here, who's going to be our third speaker.
Hi.
He's going to come on and give us some demos later on of using F-sharp and showing that F-sharp is child's play.
So why don't you tell us where you guys are located? I don't think
we are located at Microsoft Research in Cambridge, right by Cambridge train station. A wonderful location and excellent, amazing things going on here in the building and lots of different research work. And of course, a lot of the history of F-sharp has been created at Microsoft Research in Cambridge. And it's great to be able to link up like this.
Fantastic. So let me get into some of these slides that we wanted to talk about. I will start them. There you go.
All right. So the first really important point about F-sharp that we wanted to talk about a bit more is that it's open and cross-platform. And I think F-sharp in a way has been a pioneer in that sense, because we were open source and cross-platform before it was cool.
That's right.
So, Don, do you have more things to say about how the F-sharp open source system works?
Well, we'll be talking about some of the details about what that means in the points coming up. But I think it's the first thing we always say about F-sharp these days, and I think that it's open source and cross-platform. It's neutral and independent as a language design is also crucially important. We're beginning to see all sorts of that coming out in all sorts of important ways. One, of course, is you've got great Linux packages, you've got great Android and iOS support, and the Mac support, and of course, excellent support on Windows. But it also goes right throughout a lot of the community work. Sean is just wondering if he can. Sean's in the background. He's wondering if he can type a bit. Go away. Do some F-sharp programming in the background, Sean. Please go ahead. So the open source and cross-platform is totally a key pillar of the F-sharp ecosystem. Yeah.
All right.
That actually fits very well with our next point, which is that the F-sharp language is accepting contributions. And I think that's there's more that we can hear about that.
Yeah, we certainly are. Thomas, you want to bring up the browser? Because you got control of the screen over there. We're not sharing screens.
We've got a control of the screen. What should we find in the browser?
Yeah, so let's take a look for fslang.uservoice.com first of all. We'll just take a little walk through the process of making contributions, the three crucial sites. The first place we begin is fslang.uservoice.com. This is where we collect suggestions and ideas about the F-sharp language design itself. I am the admin on that site. I'll always looking for people to help with sort of administrative tasks around, when you have 200, 300, 500 suggestions about a programming language, there's a lot of kind of bookkeeping we need to do. And I find fslang.uservoice.com quite a useful site for helping to manage some of that bookkeeping. One of the great things is you can vote on the language suggestions, and I definitely do take some attention to that voting process. We still need to filter that through a language design process, of course. We then go ahead and mark some items as planned. Thomas, you might want to click on one of the planned items on the screen there.
All right.
On the yellow planned
item. I see it.
And then up will come the list of, well, that'll be the under review items, I think, if they're gray, are they? Or no, they're planned. Okay, they're. Okay, so this really means approved in principle rather than planned. There's a whole bunch of them have been approved in principle, and this doesn't set any particular timeline for when they are going to happen or, in fact, the exact design details, and that's sort of the next stage that we need to move to. So, Thomas, do you want to bring up the RFCs for F-Sharp? You're going to have to find those on github.com/F-Sharp.
Seth is all in control of the machine, so
I'm bringing it up.
He's getting it there.
And then look for F-Sharp Lang.
And it's just there, the fourth item.
The fourth F-Sharp Lang design. And then, so this is where we keep the RFCs for F-Sharp, and this is sort of the items. The idea is that all the items that have been approved in principle will then go and get a corresponding RFC. Now, we are just beginning this process. We've got through to about 8 RFCs at the moment, and we're sort of we're modeling ourselves, I will admit, partially on the Rust RFC process. Rust is a great open source language, really really wonderful community around it as well, and we're seeing similar things with F-Sharp, which is great. And so if you want to click on the RFCs folder there.
Opening it now,
and you can see the list of RFCs and some placeholders there with the template for us to start to flesh those out a bit more. You might want to choose one, let's say something like, let's take one I've been working on this week, struct tuples.
Struct tuples.
That's open. 06.
Okay. And so this is an item which we're, you know, the RFCs are meant to capture the sort of the detailed design, the motivation, the summary, the motivation, the detailed design. And as we work through an implementation and it's testing, this gives us a place to kind of capture very detailed issues about a particular design extension possibility for F-Sharp. And finally, at the top of that, of the RFC, you can probably see that there is a link to a discussion, which will be a GitHub issue associated with the language item.
There you go.
And there we go. This is for discussing the detailed design. We've found in the past that fslang.uservoice is good for discussing ideas, but isn't so good for just sort of iterating to a finalized detailed design. So that's more the detailed design and engineering process. And then just switch back then you'll see that in the RFC, there will also be a link to the implementation. It'll be the third item there. Now, in this case, the stage of the implementation is that it's what I would call a spike. It's a branch, and I've been working on it. But of course, you can work on implementations in just the same way by forking the Visual F-Sharp repository. We do ask that most contributions to the language go via Microsoft Visual F-Sharp. They will then flow out into the Linux and open source versions of the Microsoft Visual F-Sharp is of course open source, but then there's a packaging repository which is used to package the Linux releases, and that is also used to make the F-Sharp compiler service. So if you want to make contributions, you can contribute anywhere along that pipeline into fslang.uservoice. You can vote. That's a contribution in itself. You can contribute at the RFC stage. Please just go to the RFCs, read them, make comments. You can even send PRs to the pull requests to the RFCs. And of course, in some cases, just go and own an RFC and implement it all the way through and ship a language feature in a production language to thousands and tens of thousands of users. Please contribute. That's what we mean. The F-Sharp language is most definitely accepting contributions in many right along the pipeline from design to implementation.
What strikes me, Don, is as I'm looking at this, it literally feels like you are setting up a process whereby because some people are like, hey, we take pull requests, but this is more of a, we take pull requests, but we're going to give you a process that you can follow, whether you can just say, I want to tell you about something, or I want to really define something, or I want to really tell you about something, really define it, and actually implement it. And so the whole process is really mapped out. It's not just a, hey, send a pull request.
Yeah. I think we've iterated towards this. It's taken a little while to get there, and I'm happy with where we're landing. It's got to be a process that can. There's some kinds of work on a language which only people very, very intimate with the implementation of the actual compiler code can do. And I tend to focus on those features. So I need a process that can support me in doing that. And then but equally that's not enough. We've got so many interesting ideas about ways in which F Sharp can be improved, which I personally would never have thought of, and the other compiler contributors wouldn't perhaps have thought of. So we need a process that just is very open, accepts lots of different contributors, and also supports core technical work as well. And so it's great. I'm happy.
Awesome. All right, let's go back to these slides here.
All right. The next one we have here is the F-Sharp org. So this is the home of the F-Sharp Software Foundation. And we'll see if, Don, you want to say more about it. I have one more important announcement here, because there's now the F-Sharp org mentoring program.
Thomas, before we go, I think I'm very happy for you to talk about this. Like going to the other end of the spectrum of F-Sharp, I often talk about F-Sharp. The word F-Sharp gets used in like three distinct ways. One means it's a language design, okay? the other is it's a set of core tools as well, like the Visual F-Sharp tools or the Xamarin tools, and you know what you actually use to kind of program, and a core set of libraries that you might use, such as F-Sharp.data. We'll be hearing about that later. But then the word F-Sharp also means the F-Sharp community, and one key organization that's part of the F-Sharp community and supporting it is the F-Sharp Software Foundation, as well as many other contributors such as Microsoft and Xamarin, lots and lots of users and so on. So Thomas, tell us about the F-Sharp Software Foundation.
Yeah, well, I think we are going to have more time to talk about it later during the day. So I just really wanted to say that the F-Sharp Software Foundation is now official registered US nonprofit, which is a great thing. It took really long time. It's a long process, but I think it's something that we really need as a community to sort of have the solid foundation. Like, it's not just some random dudes running a website. It is an organization, and I think that there's going to be more and more happening there. The one thing we are starting to do is this mentoring program, and it's really sort of early stage now. But the idea is to have sort of one-on-one pairing where people from the community can help others who are joining to learn more and get engaged with the community as well.
And I want to add to that. In 2008, I was in a graduate class learning about functional languages. Don might not remember this, but I do. And I decided to choose F#. And at that time, in 2008, it was still pretty early. And I remember I implemented a binary search in a file, right? And I put it on my blog post, and I'm like, hey, this is really cool. You know, F#'s great. You should look at it. And who was the first person to comment on it? It was Don. I mean, this is the guy that makes the language, comment on my blog post in 2008 while I was studying the language, and said, hey, this is really great. You should probably think about changing this to this because of this reason, right? And so this notion of mentoring is not a new thing for F#. It goes back to the very beginning. And Don probably doesn't even remember this. I remember it. If you go to my blog post, my blog, SethWarez.com, the first post is an F# post in February of 2008. That's a long time ago, language-wise. I mean, in computer years, that's like 50 years ago. You know what I'm saying? And so this notion of mentoring and community, I think, goes back to the beginning of F# and is at the roots of the language.
We should probably print out your blog post and put it in a museum. Then.
It's bad F#. Trust me. It's not good.
I think the next two topics we have.
Thomas, while we're on that, you've mentioned that the F# Software Foundation is a nonprofit in the United States now. I do want to mention, I know there are employees of various US companies tuning in today. Just to say, the fact that it's a nonprofit means it is now on Brevity. I think it's called brevity.com. And it does mean that you can make donations through your work charity schemes, and they often match dollar for dollar by the company you work for. This especially applies, I believe, to U.S. employees. And so, yes, if you're a U.S. employee at Microsoft or other companies, you can now make charitable donations to the F-Sharp Software Foundation who use it for education purposes around F-Sharp. Such as the mentoring scheme, and yes, the company you work for will make matching donations. How good is that?
We have lots of questions coming in too, so we might start taking those in a little bit. So let's work through the slides and get through some questions.
Do you want to just talk through these next three points?
I think the next three are all related because it's all related to the tooling around F-Sharp, either on iOS with Xamarin or on Azure with Visual F-Sharp Tools, or on Linux with packages. So over to you then.
I think we want to have time for questions, you've shown the points. I think we're good with those. We've got a great cross-platform coverage for F-Sharp. Xamarin, the acquisition by Microsoft, is a fabulous thing for F-Sharp. I'm really excited to see that go through the final dot the I's and cross the T's kind of regulatory approval kind of process. So that will bring a really professional level. Xamarin already doing great, but I think we'll see alignment come out of that. We'll see a whole round of quality work and the like that's going to be absolutely super for F-Sharp right across the spectrum on the cross-platform side of things.
I think this brings us a really good segue into the very beginning questions. The first question from Corey, and I think this is, you can answer this pretty quickly, but F-Sharp and C-Sharp, what is the main difference? Now, one isn't necessarily better than the other, but they have different philosophies. How would you describe the philosophy difference?
Yeah, okay, I'll answer that one. So, I mean, one of the key things about F-Sharp is it's through and through a functional first programming language. You see that from the moment you start using it and the moment you work with the design. So when we're talking functional first, we're talking, instead of being an object-oriented programming language straight up, where the first thing you write is like a class, okay? The first thing you do with F-Sharp will be like define, let X equal something, define some data and define some functions to manipulate and transform that data. And that functional first programming is used as functional programming is used as sort of the initial paradigm for most purposes. But you can then transition into other techniques as appropriate. You can transition into object programming and imperative programming as well. Now, some of the characteristics of functional first programming are, you'll notice, for example, there are no nulls. Well, it's not true that there are no nulls, but in the vast majority of your F-Sharp programming, null is not normal in F-Sharp. There are nulls around the edges and interrupt situations, but null is kind of an abnormality in F-Sharp programming. And this is just fantastic. Just search for null reference exception on the internet and you'll just see just how many null reference exceptions there are, have been in history, and there are just far too many of them. So you can just, by slicing out this incidental complexity of null reference exceptions and sort of cutting that out from your programming, that brings really, really big correctness and productivity benefits to your working. You'll also notice as you're working with F-Sharp, you'll notice that focus on simplicity of data, tuples, lists, and the use of immutable data in representations, some of which is now flowing into C-Sharp as well, which is great to see some of those gradually coming across. But for us, it's been there since day one, and it pervades everything that people do in F-Sharp. It's like, it's been there since F-Sharp, 0.3. So it's what we started with, is that core of functional first, robust, succinct, functional first programming. Of course, F-Sharp is super strongly typed all the way through. We have has an excellent type inference scheme. It's like you get types, but without paying the cost of without paying the sort of extreme cost that you get in some strongly typed languages for type annotations. And that means you can get, in many cases, close to the succinctness of dynamic languages, weakly typed languages like Python, but you're getting the robustness of strong typing, giving you a F-sharp code a real strength, and people often report that in F-sharp anecdotes that their correctness sort of flows like almost magically from their F-sharp coding. That's not strictly true. People get plenty of bugs in their F-sharp code. It still happens. But people do report that they are able to write correct programs with F-sharp very effectively, and teams are able to do that as well. F-sharp is enterprise ready. It's, as we talked about, open source and cross-platform. We do really encourage best software engineering practice. We embrace, you know, lots of the software engineering expertise you can bring from your programming experience. You don't have to throw it all away. You can bring it across to your F-sharp programming. And there's a huge focus on interoperability with .NET, but also with all sorts of other systems as well.
Awesome.
Okay.
So we have two more questions, or we have lots more questions. Yeah. But there's two more questions that I think we can take later, because there's a question about from Mike and Carl about F-sharp and .NET Core.
Right.
And we'll have David Stevens from the F-sharp team inside Microsoft, who's actually, his team is working on that. So I think we can take that later. And there's a interesting question from Karthik about F-sharp and the client-side web development. So it's more of a question, but I think we should probably turn it into an announcement, saying there's actually lots of great F-sharp tools that you can use for client-side web development as well. There's WebSharper, which has been around for a long time, and it's really mature framework. There's FunScript and Fable, which are more on the lightweight open source side of things. Fable is just a new project that recently started.
WebSharper is also open source.
WebSharper, yes, that's right. WebSharper is also open source, but also has an actual company behind it that can help people if they want to use it.
Yeah.
And the next one on the list was, what are the most common scenarios for use?
That's like what we're going to do all day, right? I mean, I love this question, Marius, because I think when you see, like, we have 14 to 15 slots of people doing various and sundry things that will be wildly different across the board. And so when you're talking about what are the common scenarios for F-sharp, I mean, I don't know if there's common ones anymore. I mean, you can do 3D drawing, you can do financial, you can do mathematics, you can do whatever.
You can write UIs.
Yeah, now you can do all sorts of things with F-sharp. There used to be a time when I think in order to sort of get F-sharp, Visual F-sharp 2.0 out as a Microsoft product, you know, we had to, I think there was a time when we kind of used to say F-sharp is more for this or more for that. I think there are some areas where functional first programming gives really big wins. We see those in lots of server-side situations and lots of client-side situations as well. But we don't do that anymore. F-sharp is what you use it for. Yeah, and you'll see so many different examples of what you can use F-sharp for. And it's like there are just so many scenarios you can use for. Let's just watch through the day. And if you can't make the whole thing, watch your recordings that are going to be available. And also another place to look is fsharp.org/testimonials. Seth, do you want to bring that up?
Yeah, absolutely. fsharp.org/testimonials.
Yeah.
Got it.
All right. Please take the time to read through that. It's a great collection of anecdotes and testimonials about using F-sharp in practice to make a lot of money in some situations, to really make big business impact in others, and also just to have fun in your programming in hobbyist sort of.
We are nearly out of time, and so for the last question, I'm going to pop one in there for you, because I know I'm just going to lob it up. There is some concern that there might be an organization that has a ton of C-sharp code already, and they're worried, well, I can't just rewrite all of it in F-sharp. Do they have to, or what can they do?
They certainly don't have to. Often when people look at adopting F-sharp or trialing it, for instance, testing is a fabulous place to trial the use of F-sharp. F-sharp makes a beautiful scripting language to write succinct, kind of clear tests that just like flow off once you're going with F sharp unit, using F sharp for unit testing. You can, of course, F-sharp can just interoperate. You can write some with C-sharp. You can write some modules in F-sharp. You can also use F-sharp DLLs components from your C-sharp code. There's often lots of places around the edges in utility scripting and the like where you can trial the use of F-sharp in an existing C-sharp context. And actually, Phil, who's sitting to my right here, is an expert at sort of using F-sharp in various aspects of the software engineering process in various organizations, and has been, you know, maybe he can talk about that a bit later on, about how to, if you're a C-sharp shop, how you can go about using F-sharp without it being controversial, with everybody saying this is a great thing to do. It's a great part of the .NET family. It's a great part of the .NET productivity ecosystem. Another thing to do, of course, is to consider getting a training course in for people in your F-sharp. Often C-sharp developers would really enjoy taking an F-sharp training course during the Plural site or the other courses that are available online. And that gives a way for everybody to learn more about programming more generally. People often do F-sharp courses and come away saying, actually, I've become a better programmer by thinking a bit differently about programming. And it also lets everybody get to that, to a level where they're comfortable with debugging F-sharp code, using it, and when working with it.
Fantastic.
All right.
I think we're out of time for this one. We're going to cut to Slate for like maybe 5 or 6 seconds as we set up for the next session. Evelina's going to come up, and I don't know, what is she talking about today?
She's talking about Star Wars.
Oh! I'm excited. All right. Let's cut to Slate for a little bit. Stand by. We're coming right back.
It's been good. Thanks very much. See you.
Thank you.